This is our second chabura on the topic of mitzvah haba ba'avera. Sorry, just to review the topics of the first chabura were number one, the nature of the psul of mitzvah haba ba'avera, deraisa derabanan, whether it works on the kiyum or referring to the maisa as well. That was topic number one. Topic number two was which mitzvos it refers to. That was the question of dafka mitzvos d'raba l'ratzos or all mitzvos. That was one issue. The other one is whether it's just mitzvos d'araisa or all mitzvos d'araisa and d'rabanan. That was the second general question. And now the third and final topic we're going to spend the entire chabura on is the issue of really which averos, and probably more precisely, which situations of averos does the psul of mitzvah ba'avera apply in. So really, even before we start, the important thing to note is that what everyone, all the Rishonim, all the Mefarshim are trying to really get at is the fact that you need to have some connection, some tziruf, between the Avera and the Mitzvah in order for the Psul of Mitzvah of Avera to apply. It's not, you can't just say that since the person was over an Avera, and then 15 minutes later, he randomly did another Mitzvah, because they were close to one another, Mitzvah of Avera. That's not what's going on. It's clear according to all Mefarshim in order for the psul of mitzvah ba ba'avera to apply, you need to have some tziruf, some connection between the avera and the mitzvah. Now the machlokas, we're going to see three approaches. The machlokas is going to pertain to how exactly do you create that tziruf? How exactly do you create that connection? So we're going to see that there are three general approaches to how you create that tziruf. Now we're going to really flesh out each of these approaches with the different Mefarshim who accept them. So the first... You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And the first major approach is that the way you tie the Avera to the Mitzvah is if the Avera and the Mitzvah apply to the same Chefetz, to the same object. And according to this first approach, Mitzvah Vav Avera only applies to dictate... You can't use the Chefetz Shel Avera, an object defined as a chefetz shel avera, to then use that same chefetz to be your chefetz shel mitzvah. According to the first approach, the connection between the avera and the mitzvah takes place through them both pertaining to the same object. The same object was defined as the chefetz shel avera, and then that same object, when that is used to be the chefetz shel mitzvah, the psul of mitzvah bab avera comes along and says that you can't do that.
So according to that opinion, the Shera Lula would be a Mitzvah Bavera.
Exactly. We're going to get there in a second. So the first, I guess the earliest Makor for this approach is a well-known Yerushalmi. A bunch of the guys reference this. I think it was Yaakov Ender. Right? Is the Yerushalmi in the case of, basically, when a person who is an Avelus, or not yet an Avelus, is basically doing Kriya on a mace, but he does the kriya of his beged on Shabbos. So at first glance, it sounds like you have an avera of doing kriya on Shabbos. At the same time, you have the mitzvah of doing korea on a mace. So at first glance, it sounds like that should be a classic case of mitzvah bab avera. But the Yerushalmi says that this situation is not mitzvah bab avera, although the case of eating matzah gzula is. So the question that the Yerushalmi is dealing with is what exactly is the difference? In both cases, both the Avera and the Mitzvah happen simultaneously. So what is the difference? So the famous line in the Yerushalmi, just I'll say it slowly, it's Yerushalmi Lashonas, it's a little difficult, but basically says, Taman over there, in the context of matzah guzzle, matzah gzula, where Mitzvah Avera applies, Taman there, gufa Avera, the item, the chefetz, is the avera, in our terms, is the chefetz shel avera, or the object, the matzah gzula, right? That matzah was the object which was stolen, and then you can't then use that object of the avera to then be the object of your mitzvah to then eat it. But biram, however, hacha, in the context of korea, hu ava avera. The avera is only referring to the gavra, meaning there's no concept of, you're not utilizing an object that was used for an avera to then use for a mitzvah. It happens to be that this person, while doing the mitzvah as a gavra, also violated an avera of korea b'shabbos, but because the avera was limited to the realm of the gavra but doesn't pertain to a chefza which is then used for the mitzvah, the Yerushalmi is saying that mitzvah b'avera does not apply. So it's clear from this Yerushalmi, as spelled out by later Achronim, that what's going on is that mitzvah bava vera will not apply even if it's simultaneous. You need it only apply when the chetzah shel avera is then utilized as the chetzah shel mitzvah, which only applies in the situation of matzah gezula, but it will not apply in the case of korea big dough bishabbos. That's one makor for this approach. That's the Yerushalmi. Another also well-known makor for this. I mean, we'll just maybe hold off questions. I got a little feedback on that. Maybe we'll just hold it off for a couple minutes, and I'll stop at a certain point to get questions. Just want to make sure that we get it in before my computer does, and for all flashlights lose batteries. So the second makor, which is famously accepts this approach, is the Rambam. Right, the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. Right, in the context of discussing whether mitzvah baba vera applies to a shofar guzzle, right, in a case where you steal a shofar and utilize that shofar to be yotze your mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Rambam says that mitzvah baba vera does not apply. And what's the reasoning? The Rambam says, this is Lishitaso, that the mitzvah of shofar is not on the tekiya, it's not on the blowing, but rather on the shmiya, but rather listening to the kol of the shofar. And since the Rambam says that the mitzvah is focusing on shmias kol shofar, the chefza, if you will, the chefza shel mitzvah, is not the shofar, but rather, he says, the kol. And because the chefza, the direct object, if you will, which is being utilized for the mitzvah, is the kol, because the mitzvah is focused on shmia of that kol, and he says, since ein bikol din gezel, since that kol, which is a non-intangible object, and since you can't consider the kol to be a cheftza shel gzela, you can't say that, that sound was stolen. So therefore, mitzvah baba avera doesn't apply, says the Rambam, because you do not have a cheftza shel avera, which is then used for the mitzvah. Once again, just to be very clear, because he says, she'ina mitzvah ela b'shmiyas hakol, since the mitzvah of shofar is focused on the shmiya, therefore, af apish lo nagabav lo higbiyo. And therefore, even if you do not touch, or you do not actually relate to the shofar itself, since the mitzvah is focused on the shmiya, hashomea yotze, whoever listens is going to be yotze, focusing on the fact that the mitzvah is focused on the shmiya, and therefore, the ein bekol din gezel. And because you're focusing on the shmiya and the kol, it's intangible, noise or sound cannot be defined as a chetza shel gzela, so therefore, mitzvah ba'avera does not apply. So here you have the Yerushalmi and the Rambam clearly taking this approach that mitzvah baba avera will only apply in situations where you can define the object as a chefza shel avera and then say that that chefza cannot be used as a mitzvah. And then exactly what Aaron just pointed out, that the Rambam lishitaso, when it comes to the psul of a lulav or an esrog of an ir hanidachas or of a shera, although Tosfos on Daf Lamed, and really based on the Girsa of Ar Gemara, says that the problem is ksuse mechta shiure. And Lishitaso will get back to this, says mitzvah baba vera does not apply, because we'll see according to Tosfos and his conception of mitzvah baba vera, it doesn't apply in that case. But the Rambam in Perasha Mishnayos on the Mishnah on Chaftas and Mabez explicitly says that the psul for a lulav shel asherah and a lulav shel iranidachas is mitzvah baba vera. And according to this reasoning of the Rambam, this makes a lot of sense, because once you worship, once the lulav is defined as an asherah or as an iranidachas, as part of the iranidachas, and it attains that status of a chefza shel ashera or shel iranidachas, then it's a chefza shel avera, which then cannot be utilized as the mitzvah. So it works out very nicely for the Rambam. Once again, another raya for the Rambam that the focus of mitzvah avera is utilizing the chefza as a mitzvah. It's just three more shitos quickly, and then we'll take questions. Just two or three more shitos which align with this approach, possibly. The third shita is the Ri, who's quoted in Tosfos and Baba Kama Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and it's also the opinion of the Tosfos on Lamed Amud Aleph Dibur Maskel Ha, which I didn't tell you to see, it's a little long, but there the Ri and our Tosfos both say that if you hold that Yeyush Kedi is Kone, if you think that Yeyush alone basically grants Bilus to the Goslin right after the Nigzal, right after he is miyayish on his stolen object, it automatically, right away, belongs to the goslin. Then if the goslin then goes along after this point of yayish, after which point he already owns the object, if he then is magbiya the lulav, the mitzvah of avera does not apply anymore. Right, so even though it's a lulav hagazel, but because that object now belongs to the gazlan, he has full ownership. These balei tosos say that mitzvah of avera doesn't apply. And the question is, why not? So the Rav wanted to say that this shita of Tosfos aligns with this approach. We're going to see other approaches later, but the Rav says, because the idea is, according to these Tosfosim, that the only mitzvah of Baba Avera only applies to not allow an object which is defined as a chefta shel avera to be used as a chefta shel mitzvah. But once the item is nicknes to the gazlan and it's no longer defined as a chefta hagazel, right, because the kinyan and gzela are no longer on it, is now considered full bilus under the gazlan, is no longer defined as a chefza hagzula. So therefore, since it no longer has that status of a chefza shel avera, therefore mitzvah baba avera doesn't apply. Once again, taking this approach. And just two more shitos quickly, and then we'll take some questions. The Meiri, in context of a question that we asked last Chabura, about the question that is raised by Tosfos and Daf Tes, right? Why the Gemara and Daf Tes has to bring a special makor to pasul a sukkah gzula? And Tosfos asks, why not just say mitzvah baba avera? So he saw a number of answers last Chabura, but the Meiri takes another approach. He says the reason why mitzvah baba avera, basically that mitzvah baba avera does not apply to sukkah gzula, it's limited to lulav hagazel. What's the difference? He says, when it comes to lulav, the mitzvah relates to the chepetz itself. Namely, in our terminology, when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav, the lulav is a chefza shel mitzvah. Because you pick up that lulav, and you utilize that as the chepetz of the mitzvah to then shake it around and to pick it up. And therefore, mitzvah of avera will apply there, because it fits into this concept of not being able to utilize the chefza shel avera as a chefza shel mitzvah. But it comes to sukkah, and this is a larger topic we'll get to later points in the summer, he assumes that when it comes to sukkah, you don't utilize the walls. You don't utilize the sukkah, the structure of the sukkah itself, which was stolen. You are sitting inside the sukkah. And since, according to his perspective, you're not utilizing the walls which are stolen, so therefore the sukkah itself, which was the chefza shel avera, is not utilized as a chefza shel mitzvah. And if you hold, once again, that the whole idea of mitzvah of avera is not to utilize a chefza shel avera, it's a chefza shel mitzvah, then according to this Meiri, now you can understand this Meiri is saying that once you have a mitzvah where the chefza shel avera is not being utilized as the chefza shel mitzvah, like here where you're not utilizing the chefza shel avera, you're not utilizing the structure itself, you're just sitting inside the structure, therefore the Meiri says the mitzvah of avera will not apply. And the last, before we recap and take some questions, and Reb Chaim, who also accepts this approach, similarly explains the Gemara in Lamed Amud Beis and Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, which we'll get to in Chelek Beis, where the Reb Chaim explains that the reason why mitzvah ba'avera does not apply to land, karka, which was stolen, because there's a general klal of karka eina nigzelis, which says that basically you do not have kinyan and gezela on a karka, because a karka is not movable, it's not considered to be stolen. Once then the question is, what's the connection between whether there's kinyan gzela on the karka and the application of mitzvah b'avera? Once again, if you think that mitzvah b'avera is all about not being able to utilize a chetza shel avera as a chetza shel mitzvah, then the lack of kinyan gzela, the fact that this object is not defined as an object, as a chetza hagzula, dictates that mitzvah b'avera does not apply because the land doesn't attain the status as a chetza shel avera. So here you have, just to summarize, you had the following five mefarshim in different contexts, really taking this approach that mitzvah baba avera is, with this first approach, it's all about not being able to utilize a chefza shel avera as a chefza shel mitzvah. So just to recap, number one is the Yerushalmi who utilizes to explain why mitzvah baba avera does not apply to koreah b'bigdo b'shabbos, because there's no utilization of a chefza. The Rambam explains why there's no mitzvah baba avera when it comes to shofar hagazel, because once again there the chefza shel mitzvah is the kol, which is not the chefza shel avera. And then the Rambam Lashitaso applies mitzvah baba avera to a lulav shel ir nidachas and shel asherah, because there you have this concept of the chefza shel avera being utilized as a chefza shel mitzvah. Then you had the Ri and Tosas and Daf Lamed utilizing this to explain why mitzvah baba avera does not apply after yeish within the manda amr, the yeish kedi koneh, which basically dictates that the object is no longer defined as a chefza hagazel after yeish. Once again, because by the time you're doing the mitzvah, it's no longer defined as a chafza shalavera. That's why the mitzvah bavir doesn't apply there. And then number four was the Meiri, who utilizes it to explain why mitzvah bavavera does not apply to a sukkah gzula, to therefore explain why you need a special pasuk there. And the Reb Chaim utilizes to explain why karka, the yisod of karka in an exelas, comes to impact the application of mitzvah bavavera. So now I'm open to questions on approach more. Yes.
How exactly did Yushalmi explain?
Yes, yeah, so Yushalmi is a case. He's trying to explain why mitzvah baba vera applies to matzah, which is stolen. Right? If you go ahead and eat matzah gzula, you're not yotze because of mitzvah baba vera. When you rip, right, you're doing the mitzvah of korea, of kriya, and a mace. But if you do that on Shabbos, so right at the same time that you're doing the mitzvah of kriya, you're being over the avera of korea to Shabbos. The question is, why does a mitzvah baba vera apply there? So he says that because there's no concept, there's no object which has previously been defined as a chetza shel avera, which you are now utilizing as a chetza shel mitzvah. Because it's happening at the same time, and the idea is that since it's happening at the same time, there's no point in time where you brand the beged, for instance, as a chetza shel avera to then passel as a chetza shel mitzvah. So it seems like my computer is dying soon, so I'm going to try to just run through the rest of it, and then we'll take all the questions afterwards. Sorry, this is, you know, Shas HaTzchak. Okay, we'll just try to do this quickly, or else I'm going to do this all by heart. So the second approach, right, first approach is all about the Chepta. Exactly. The first approach is all about a Chepta shell, a bearer not being able to utilize the Chepta shell mitzvah. The second approach, and how you, right, bridge this gap between the Avera and the mitzvah, is taken by the Tosfos on the page, and Daf Lamed Amin Aleph, the top Tosfos, who says that the only time you have this connection is when the Avera was a prerequisite for the mitzvah. Namely, that you couldn't do the mitzvah without having done the Avera. A classic example, when it came to Lulav HaGazel, you would not have been able to be Yotze the mitzvah of Lulav if not for the fact that you stole this Lulav, because otherwise you wouldn't have had this Lulav. So the way he bridges the gap, how do you connect the Avera and the mitzvah? The connection is, if you wouldn't have been able to do the mitzvah without the Avera. So therefore, the Tosfos explains, that's why Lulav HaGazel, that's why mitzvah Bava Avera applies to Lulav HaGazel. And then, as we referenced earlier, Lishitaso, he says that mitzvah Bava Avera will not apply in the case of Lulav, Shel Ashera, or Shel Ir Nitachas, because there, the fact that someone else worshipped this Lulav didn't facilitate me doing this mitzvah, that had no impact on facilitating the mitzvah, and because according to Tosfos, the whole yisod of connecting the mitzvah to the avera is based on the avera facilitating the mitzvah, therefore, in contrast to the Rambam, who applies mitzvah of avera to this situation, because for him it's all about the chefza, for Tosfos it's not going to apply, because for Tosfos it's all about the avera facilitating the mitzvah. And then just one last interesting ha'ara within Tosfos, if you recall, at the very end of Tosfos, Tosfos ends with the Tzarech Iyun. And he asks, why does the Gemara in Psachim Lamed Hey, when it comes to matzah shel tevel, right, utilizing for your matzah, right, basically tevel, right, something in basically produce matzah, which is chumas and maizes we're not taking off of. And the question that Tosfos in the Gemara has a whole specific drasha there, that the only thing you can use for matzah is something which only has the potential of the iser chametz, but if there's any other iser matzah, you can't use that for matzah. Whatever, that's the details over there. But the question is, why doesn't the Gemara just come on to mitzvah baba avera? That's what Tosfos ends his question with. And so the important thing for Tosfos, why is all Lishitaso? For Tosfos, it makes a lot of sense why he would ask this question and why he thinks that mitzvah baba avera would apply there. Because in such a situation, it's very possible that you would not have been able to utilize that matzah as your mitzvah if you had to first be mafresh it and give it away to, let's say, either the Kohen or the Levi. So for Tosfos, who it's all about the Avera facilitating the mitzvah, it applies very well. But for the first approach, that's all about a Chefza Shel Avera, not being utilized as a Chefza Shel Mitzvah, you can answer this question very easily. Because you can say, Tevel, there was no Avera done on Tevel. Tevel is a natural, I mean, when you have produce, and you haven't yet been mafresh Shumas or Maestros, you have a status of tevel. Tevel doesn't represent an avera. It's in the shprach that like the achronim use. It's a chefza shel iser, but not a chefza shel avera. Meaning it's usher to eat, but as is, no one performed an avera on it. So therefore, if you took the first approach that the only time mitzvah baba avera applies is when there's a chefza, which is defined as a chefza, which is stigmatized because of an avera, which is performed on it, And then you can answer why mitzvah bava veira will not apply to matzah shel tevel, which did not have an aveira performed on it. All it was a something which happens to still be usur. Fine. That's approach number two, that the connection between the aveira and the mitzvah is when the aveira facilitates the mitzvah. The final approach, number three, hopefully we'll be able to beat the clock here. Approach number three is that the connection between the mitzvah and the aveira only takes place when the aveira and the mitzvah take place simultaneously. Only when the maisa mitzvah also is considered a maisa aveira. So, what?
It could be the opposite of the first one. In some cases, because it's good. The first one is at the same time.
Exactly. Very, like the case of Korea, the big dog. B'Shabbos, excellent. We'll get there in a second. This is the third approach, and we'll see there's a little nuance within this. The third approach is that the only time you have the sufficient connection between the aveira and the mitzvah is when they take place simultaneously. So within this third approach, there are two different formulations in the Mefarshim. We'll call it 3A. The first formulation of it is that, according to this approach, when they take place simultaneously, the connection between the aveira and the mitzvah is simply the fact that they take place simultaneously, right? You can't get a better tzeirah than that, according to this approach, that they take place simultaneously. The same maisa, which is the maisa mitzvah, is also maisa aveira, so therefore you have them coinciding. That is your built-in tzeirah. And the Shar HaMelech in Hulchos Lulav, Perek Ches, Halacha Hey, once again, it's the Shar HaMelech in Hulchos Lulav on the Rambam, Periches, halacha, hey, he takes this approach, focusing on the fact that both the Maisa Mitzvah and the Maisa Avera are taking place at the same time. We'll call 3B, another take on this, which is the Ritzvah in a bunch of places in our Perek. A bunch of you guys might have seen this on the Mekoros, where the Ritzvah has a fascinating idea, where he says it in a way which is, I think, like in a sense, like the parallel opposite of approach number two. To review. Approach number two said, Mitzvah Bava Aveira only applies when the Aveira facilitates the Mitzvah. Here the Ritzvah is going to say the opposite. The only time Mitzvah Bava Aveira applies is when the Mitzvah, in a sense, facilitates the Aveira. In the sense that the performance of the Mitzvah is mashlin, completes the Aveira. So approach number two was saying it's the Aveira facilitating the Mitzvah. In a sense, this Ritzvah's formulation of 3B is to say that it's about the Aveira facilitating, the Mitzvah facilitating the Aveira by having the Aveira be Mashlim, so the Mitzvah rather, be Mashlim the Mitzvah. And how does this take place? What?
Be Mashlim the Aveira.
The Mitzvah be Mashlim the Aveira. And how does this work out? Similar to that Tosas that we were referring to earlier, he says that therefore in a case where, let's say, you hold Yeyush Kedi Kona, or let's say in a case where there was Yeyush and Shinoi Rishus, or any other type of Shinoi, before you perform the mitzvah, basically any case where the Gezela is completed, right, is Niknes to the Goslin before you do the mitzvah, namely that the Avera of Gezela was completed before you do the mitzvah. In such a case, says the Ritzvah, mitzvah bava aveira will not apply, because in that case, the mitzvah is not contributing, is not being misayeya in the Ritzvah's Lashon, is not being misayeya the Avera, because the Avera was completed, and you're doing the mitzvah post the completion of the Avera. So that's the way the Ritzvah understands this sugya, and it's a fascinating concept. Is an interesting line where in a classical case where there's a gzela and there is yeyish, we were holding that yeyish alone does not cause the gazlan to own it. You need, let's say, both yeyish and a shinei rishos. So the way the Ritzvah says it is that when you have yeyish and then you dedicate and you basically utilize this stolen object for the mitzvah, he says that the utilization of this object for a mitzvah is considered a shinoi rishus. He's basically saying it parallel to the way if you're makdish an item to hekdish, that's a shinoi rishus, because it used to be chulin, and now you're giving it to the base of mikdash. So therefore you have yeyush and a shinoi rishus, and therefore that triggers, that completes the aveira. So too, when it comes to any time you do a mitzvah, it's a fascinating concept, just the performance of a mitzvah is like a form of hakdasha, where you're sort of like being makdish it to shamayim, to function as a shinoi rishus, and that's why anytime you use a lulav hagazel after yeish for a mitzvah, just the utilization of the mitzvah itself completes the gezela, because after both you have the yeish and now you have the mitzvah itself, so therefore you have the yeish plus this new form of shinoi rishus, that completes the avira and ends up causing the mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvah, to be mashlim, to facilitate the completion of the avir, which is a very important, really, perspective, not only a mitzvah of avir, but also the role of performing a mitzvah, where you're basically dedicating these chayfets to the rishus of Hashem, which is a very important concept. And...
But you can't do makdash on Shabbos, you can't do mitzvahs on Shabbos.
Okay, very interesting. So he says it's a din derabanan, but that's a happy way. That's a happy question. So we assume that that's not going to be usher, so we got to get out of that somehow. So okay, just I'll take all questions in a second. Just to review, so you have first approach to mitzvah of avera is that, or once again, it's all about connecting the avera to the mitzvah. Approach number one is all about connecting the basically not being able to utilize the chetzah shel avera as a chetzah shel mitzvah. So five different makoros and applications of that. Second approach, championed by Tosis and Daf Lamed, is that the connection is about when the Avera facilitates the mitzvah. And approach number three, which you saw in the Shara Melech, and the Ritva, is about the Avera and mitzvah taking place at the same time. We saw two different options of it. Is 3a of the Shara Melech, is that just the connection is the fact, just the very fact that they took place at the same time. And 3b of the Ritva is sort of like the opposite of number two, is the idea of the mitzvah being mashlim, facilitating the completion of the Avera. So I'll take any questions right now, now that the computer could be closed. Yeah, please. Any questions? Can I go for it?
Can you repeat the Reb Chaim?
Yes, the Reb Chaim is taking the first approach. It says that the mitzvah of Avera is about not utilizing the chepsa shel Avera as a chepsa shel mitzvah. And he uses that yisod to explain why the Gemara, we'll see in the next daf, says that mitzvah implies that mitzvah of Avera does not apply to karka, which is an example. And then the Gemara says, oh, because karka in an exelis. So somehow, which in the world of Baba Kama means that there are no kinyane gzela on karka. I mean, generally, we'll see this later. Kinyane gzela is that basically whenever a gazlan steals something, he has a certain, it's called a kinyan isra, he has a certain like acquisition of the object to which carries certain responsibilities. Like to, if anything happens to the object, he is chayev, even in onsin. So the notion of a kinyan, this kinyan isra, this kinyan gzela, is what brands a chetza, which was stolen, as a chetza hagazel, which is the chetza shel avera. So Rebbe Chaim explains that once you hold that karka in an gzelas, that basically the status of this object, of the karka being a stolen object, does not apply to the karka. Therefore, their karka does not end up being defined as a chetza shel avera. And therefore, once the whole yisod of mitzvah avera is about the chetza shel avera not being utilized as a chetza shel mitzvah, once the karka doesn't become a chafsa shel avera, that explains why mitzvah of avera doesn't apply in that case. Yeah?
Well, I just have a logistics question, so other people.
Okay. Any? Yeah?
According to the Ritva, it's a little paradoxical. It's like the time he's doing the shinei rishus, it's for the shinei mitzvah, and once that's done, it's not a mitzvah anymore.
It's. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But he. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess you're saying that there should be a catch 22 in a sense.
Yeah.
So I guess he holds that even just the attempt. To be the attempt to utilize that L'shem Shemayim, that alone, even if that a kiyam mitzvah, triggers that shinui rishus. You're right. The shinui rishus for the mitzvah can't be contingent upon the kiyam, because then that's a catch 22. So it must be that just the etzem, like let's say, attempt to utilize that as the mitzvah, that's what triggers the shinui rishus, which then is mashal ni'avera and then holds back the kiyam.
That's a very good gezela.
What?
Because that's a kiyam gezela once the mitzvah's done.
Exactly, that completes the Kinyan Zela. Exactly. Yeah, right?
So let's say it's a mitzvah that has to be the Shema. I already had this question a couple times when I did this again. Let's say it's a mitzvah that has to be like the Shema. So why isn't that already considered the Shinui Rishus before you do the Avera? Like matzah. He gives an example of himself.
One more time?
Like matzah. He gives the example of someone steals like flour. He says, oh, it's not changing the Rishus until you eat it that night. So how come when you bake it, the Shema that isn't the Shinui Rishus?
Oh, you're saying according to the Ritva?
Yeah. Or any other mitzvah that has to be.
You're saying, why isn't like a hechsher? Interesting. So I guess he's going to say that in order to trigger that rishus, I mean, let's say baking is just, that's a hechsher ba'alma, to ready the chefetz to be utilized as a mitzvah. But you can bake something to be matzah and then not utilize it as a mitzvah. So I guess the sort of the ritzvah is that
yeah,
the only
time. Same thing as like comparing to do a mitzvah. You could start putting the mitzvah in your mouth and then putting the mouth in your mouth, and that kind of you spit it out. Like.
But I guess there's a difference between, let's say, performing the ma'isa mitzvah without the kiyum. I guess what I'm answering Maishi is that maybe the shinir rishus is triggered by a ma'isa mitzvah, but not the kiyum, because the kiyum never happens.
So
but a hechsher.
What about lulav? What's the difference between the ma'isa and the kiyum?
No, but in this case, generally, when you do a ma'isa, right after the ma'isa is completed, there's a kiyum. But in this case, where the ma'isa also completes an avera, that ma'isa mitzvah will not. When you do, let's say, the action of lifting it, that action, instead of causing you to get a kiyum mitzvah, since it ends up being mashlim and avera, it ends up just resulting in a vera, not a mitzvah. So just in the timeline, you have the ma'isa mitzvah, but instead of the very end of the ma'isa, instead of the triggering a kiyum, it triggers an avera, and thereby is mafkiyah. Yeah,
averas work faster than mitzvahs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Usher, we'll make our way around.
Yeah, it seems kind of nice to do Rishi Kase when we say this idea of like Dasha, because he also said it has to be something like the Tsuya Yisrael.
Interesting.
Like, mm-hmm. Robonos, like your micro dachin.
Interesting, very good. Very interesting. Yeah.
Sorry. We're saying that by lulav hashira, then the hashira has no something on it, so it's not tzirim mitzvah b'avera.
We were saying that, for the Rambam applies mitzvah b'avera to a lulav shel hashira because it is defined as a chetzah shel avera. Because once you worship it as a avodah zarah, it attains the status of an hashira tree. So that is a full blown chetzah shel avera. So that's why the Rambam applies it, because he takes the first approach.
Right.
But Tosfos, who thinks that mitzvah above avera is all about the only applies when the avera facilitates the mitzvah, since in this case some random person having worshipped it doesn't facilitate me taking that lulav, so therefore the Tosfos Lashitas, who takes the second approach, will not apply mitzvah above avera to lulav shel hashira, because the avera of the hashira does not facilitate the mitzvah.
Okay.
Isn't there also like a fourth category
of
the Ramban, which is
only by Gzela? Oh, very good. So I skipped that. But I think it's a Havmina which he rejects. But that Deya fits in with the first approach. Because the Avera of Gezel is one of the unique Averas which brands the Chavta as a Chavta Shal Avera. There are not many Averas which do that. So the way that they explain that is that's what I thought. Yeah, so there are other examples you have to figure out exactly. But the way that. Most likely the Ramban is going within approach number one, and then he's going to have to somehow have some subtlety to explain why, let's say, the shame gezel through, let's say, kinyan gzela is, let's say, more stigmatized than, let's say, in avodah zarah. That was actually on my list. I skipped it for times. Why?
Is that actually the shita sari tzvah?
What?
Is that actually the shita sari tzvah?
It is.
I saw, like, in the Har Kedem he said that the ritual is only gezel, not sure where he got that.
And I saw that in the Ramban and Tachim, Taflam and Hay. I don't remember the Ritzvah saying that, but it could be. Maybe we check that out. Because the way the Ritzvah explains the Yisod, it shouldn't be, but maybe it's a Deya that he quotes somewhere else. Yeah?
I don't understand how Tevel is not a Chepsah Shel Avera. Isn't it Guzzle?
No. Tevel just means, when you have produce that you bring in from the field into your house, that's Tevel. Before your Mamper is Trumas Maestros. It's just the status. Tevel is just the status that applies to, let's say, produce which has not yet been, which from which Trumas and Maisos has not been taken yet. No avera. The proper mitzvah hasn't been done yet, but no avera has been done yet.
Are you allowed to be mafis Trumas and Maisos from flour or are you the baked first? Let me mafis Trumas and Maisos.
No, you're supposed to take it in the grain stage.
But what if bidiyavet? If I already baked the loaves, can take Trumas and Maisos now?
That's interesting. Now the question is, you can mechalak between a chafzah. I mean, you can say that a chafzah shal avera is only an object where an avera was performed on it. That's a bittul essay. So you can be mechalik possibly between the lack of a mitzvah being performed on it and an avera being performed on it. You know what I'm saying? Gezel, meaning a stolen object, and the avera of gzela was performed on this object. Here, it's just a mitzvah was not performed on it. So that's a little different.
So when you eat the tevel, since it was supposed, the trumas maizos were supposed to go to the kohen, is that considered gzela when you eat it?
Yeah, that will be, but but it's not, you don't have a previously defined chetza shalaver. It's so like similar to the Yerushalmi's case.
Yeah, so then according to the problem for that shita, but then the problem the shita would hold that the Meir and Mitzvah come about Sachas, that would be a problem that it should be
Mitzvah. You'd have to come on to another answer, yeah. Exactly, very good, yeah.
Also,
oh, sorry, you're going.
Is that actual logistical
question?
Sorry.
Is it?
So for the Yerushalmi, what are
you saying? He just came up with that right now just to get out of your... Yeah.
For the Yerushalmi, where we say for the Yerushalmi, where we say that both things come at the same time, right? The Maisa Mitzvah, the Maisa Avera. Isn't the Maisa Mitzvah only happen for Kriya once you've done a Tepach? That's how you're Yotzei Yerchiva, otherwise you're not Yotzei. So therefore, as you're doing even the slightest bit of Kriya, you've already made it a...
You're saying the Shir for Shabbos is smaller. So there is a Shir for Shabbos, but it happens to be smaller than a Tepach.
Right.
So I would assume that because I'm assuming it's like a bas achas, you know, halacha, like I'm talking they dibur.
Like
it's the same, yeah, yeah, shalatam same. Like a lot of times in halacha, you don't deal with milliseconds.
It's not
the shalatam. No. Some pshatim in the shalatam same is that we deal with units of time. If it's like a tokeh de dibur type svara, then halacha a lot of times we deal with units of time, and that's some people explain why shalatam same. Because you just in halacha, let's say 3 second intervals are considered one unit of time, and therefore halacha it's considered basam. But that's a good question. Hirsch, were you asking?
Yeah.
That's just just trying to blind their, you know, the enjoy. Yeah.
So, according to Shara Palma, wouldn't every single say go halosa say that's but eight?
Oh, excellent. No. We discussed this in Seder. It's a whole huge topic in terms of there seems to be an overlap between Esei Dechalos HaSei and Mitzvah Bava Avera. That's all. Maybe we'll discuss it afterwards. It's a whole beyond the scope. But yeah, it's an excellent question. Just so everyone understands, there's a question we're not dealing with now, which it touches really upon both Esei Dechalos HaSei and Mitzvah Bava Avera in terms of why isn't every case of Esei Dechalos HaSei considered a Mitzvah Bava Avera, and a lot of cases of Mitzvah Bava Avera and Esei Dechalos HaSei. They have opposite conclusions. Right? Mitzvah Bava Avera says, you know, the Avera trumps the Mitzvah, and Esei Dechalos HaSei, as definitionally, the Asei is Docha, the Los Asei. That's all I have to say. Yeah, that's an excellent question. There are some different answers, limitations of each.
It could be a question on Tosfos, like if the Asei,
correct. That'll be an Esei Dechalos. Some Mepharshim say is a Be'inna. Yeah, that'll be getting into the whether how Be'inna Esei Dechalos HaSei needs to be. But yeah, that gets into yeah. Is that right?
So it's kind of strange with the case in the Maror Shana, like Shofar Shalola and Shal Shlamim.
Yeah.
Like why you might not be Yotze, but then it's on the coal.
Yeah, so there, the Shara Melech also discusses, because there, the getting hana from the kol is also usher, because there's an isser hana associated with ola. So therefore, it gets into the whole mitzvah lali hanas in the new sugya. But so there, there's a little different. Yeah, so the reason why that could not be yotze is because it could be that, specifically because, to get that back, there's no... let's say avera to get hana. Let's say according to most, there's no avera to get hana from the kol of a shofar guzzle. Right? It was usher to steal it. So when it comes to an ola, because it's a form of meila or at least the iser hana associated with kachim to get any benefit, including kol. No. I think they give other reasons as to why it's lo yatza. I think it's like a circular thing. That if you were to be yotzi the mitzvah, that would constitute benefit. And therefore, we end up dictating that you're not yotzei the mitzvah to ensure that you weren't over the avera. It's like circular. If you get, I say within mitzvahs lehanas ninu, it's interesting. Within mitzvahs lehanas ninu, the kiyum that you would get from this shofar, from this kol, is hana. So in order to ensure that you don't get hana, and that you're not over the iser of hana from the kachim, we undermine the kiyum. It's like a self-protective mechanism.
That would create interesting.
Yeah, but that, I don't think that's a din in Mitzvah Bava Avera. That's
right,
like a din in...
According
yeah.
to the simultaneity idea, that would...
Yes, that's because it's a different idea. Shara Melech, actually, in Chesed, he discusses the differences between the cases. Specifically, within this Bas Achas thing, but it's not working within Mitzvah Bava Avera. It's working in a different way. Anyone else? Okay, Ashkoch. Thanks for bearing...
Yeah.